Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to continue our series. This will be the last week that I preach on this, Sage Advice for New Converts. And we're going to give you two more things this morning. It'll help you and cover two more of the basics of the Christian life. I mentioned that this is a help to our new converts, but I think it's a help to all of us to go back to the basics from time to time. Me and Brother Chuck had a conversation back there, and you know, he said, you know, I don't care what level you get in any sport. He said, if you go to their practices and if you go to a training camp, you know what they're working on? The basics, the basics, the basics, the basics. I don't care if it's you're a rookie in the NFL or you've been a 14, 15-year veteran. When you go to training camp, you know what? You're still working on the same basics. Because if you're going to win, you got to master the basics. And so I hope this is a help to all of us, whether we're rookies or we've been at this thing a while, that this would be a help. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look down, please, in verse number 6. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would help each of us, Lord, as we continue our growth in Christ. Lord, that we would go back and visit these things, whether we're seeing them for the first time or we've seen them 100 times before. Lord, we still need to know this. We still need to be reminded of it. And Lord, we put ourselves in great danger when we forget these things. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us, dear Lord, as we run our race. Lord, as we take our journey and try to fulfill your will for each and every one of our lives, Lord, that you would help us to bring glory and honor to you above all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, and you may be seated. And I kind of sat down in my office and wrote down seven things. I said if I was going to sit down and talk to three or four new converts in my office, and I could only give them seven pieces of advice, what would you give them, preacher? I'd say this, first of all, I want you to know that you can know for sure that you are forever saved. Amen. I want you to have the assurance of your salvation. So number one, we preached on this, be assured that you are forever saved. If I was talking to a new convert, the next piece of advice I'd say is this, get baptized as soon as possible. And we can't have baptism today. We had some that were ready to go because of the setup. But Lord willing, we'll have baptism next week and have several people that have been saved recently follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And that's the first step of obedience, the first thing that God wants you to do. Hey, it's hard to take the second step if you haven't taken the first step. And I will tell you this, I've watched people get saved and then they postpone it. By the way, I'm not mad at anybody. Sometimes with our children, there's a fear of water, a fear of being baptized, and it takes them a little time. Folks, I've dealt with adults that have just almost what we would call an irrational fear of water. Well, it's irrational if it's not you, you know, but it's real to them. And, you know, I've watched them have to overcome that and just come to me at some point and say, preacher, you know what, I know I've been putting this off, but I know I need to do it, and so pray for me. And watch them just do it by faith. And sometimes, I think I mentioned this, sometimes when they got a hold of my arm, the handkerchief's going like this because they're that afraid. But you know, it's amazing, once they go down, come up, the difference in their countenance. And the thing is, though, somebody gets saved and does get baptized, a lot of times what you see is almost an immediate stagnation of growth. Okay, think of how many people got saved and never get baptized, sometimes not for years, and it just seems like I said, how can you take the second step if you don't take the first step? And then I watch them take that step, and then after that, it just seems like they take off. Now, remember, baptism's not a part of salvation, okay? It's not, you know, the second step to make sure that you're saved. But it is the first step of obedience once you are saved. Number three, I would look at them and say, plug into a Bible preaching and teaching church. I mean, I think the best way to accelerate growth, the best way to lay the right foundation, the Bible says, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and doeth them, I'll liken him that built to a man that built his house on a rock. And so, you know what? It puts the right foundation as you sit and you listen to the words of the Bible, the words of Jesus Christ, and you begin to build your life on those principles and precepts. It's just amazing. Listen, Bible, this book, will help you in every area of your life. Every area of your life. It'll help you get victory over sin. Come on, it'll help your marriage. It'll help you rear your children right. It'll help you develop a work ethic. It'll help you to know how to handle finances. Come on, it'll help you in every area of your life. If you'll come, listen, hear, you know, it'll help you in your friendships. It'll help you in your family relationships. I mean, there's nothing, all of the problems of mankind, we really mean this when we say the Bible has the answer. It really does. And so we go to the Word of God and we begin to sit in church. Now, we're not going to be able to cover it all in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, but you just sit under Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, come faithful. And it's amazing how that will accelerate your growth. So number three, plug into Bible preaching and teaching, into a Bible preaching and teaching church. Number four, understand that you are forever changed. And we kind of broke that down. I won't try to reteach that this morning. But once a person understands what has truly happened to them at the moment of salvation, it gets pretty exciting. Because all of a sudden, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not like you. Listen, I want to say this. God's forever ruined you for this world by saving you. And you can go back and try to enjoy some of the things that you had no problem enjoying before you got saved. And all of a sudden, you go into those same situations, and that Holy Spirit's inside of you says, hey, we don't belong here anymore. This isn't who you are anymore. And you know what? So that's an exciting thing. We won't try to reteach that. Number five, being saved does not make you perfect. I hope I helped you last week on that. I think sometimes people get saved, thank good, all my problems have gone away, and now I'm going to be able to live and not ever sin. And then all of a sudden you make it about 3 hours after you're saved. Maybe a little while, and then you say something or do something or think something or... And next thing you know, wait a minute, do I need to get saved again? No, folks, remember, salvation is not a possession that you're handed that you could lose or somebody could take away. It's a transformation. It's an adoption into the family of God. You become a child of God. Come on, think about that. And so, you know, it's an exciting thing. So if you missed any of those lessons, go back on our YouTube channel or our website. Either one, you can find these sermons and listen to them. Let me give you two more pieces of advice, and I've just covered two. Number six, number seven, then we'll go on to something else. Is that the only seven things? No, there's a whole Bible full of things. But I think these are good basic things. Number six, you just made the devil mad. If I was going to tell a new convert something, you just made the devil mad. And folks, listen to me. The devil has plan A and plan B, okay? Plan A was to keep you lost. Plan A was to try to keep you from hearing the gospel. Plan A was, once you heard the gospel, trying to talk you out of receiving the gospel. And he wants to take you to hell with him. That's what he wanted to do. But guess what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And guess what? That plan A is gone forever. And there's no way he can take you to hell. You're on your way to heaven. You're a child of God. So he said, okay, plan A didn't work. I'm not going to be able to take him to hell with me, so I'm going to go to plan B. Now listen to this, folks. Okay, maybe they're saved, but I'm going to be that roaring lion we talked about. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to try to devour everything I can devour, destroy everything I can destroy. I'm going to try to keep them, watch this, for having any influence for Jesus Christ. Because you know what the devil fears from a Christian? He fears that you're going to bring other people to Christ through your testimony. Come on. Through your witnessing. And so he wants to neutralize you. Now, remember that word, neutralize you. I think there's, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know what, I'm saved, and I haven't gone back into the world, and I'm not going back and doing the things I used to do, but I'm also not doing the things I should do, but at least I'm born again, and the devil's like, I can live with that. Now, I'd rather you not got saved, but if I can get you thinking that that's okay, okay, just live this neutral life. Come on, really not having any effect for eternity, not having any effect on anybody else. Maybe even come to church and you sit there and go like this and you're helped in some ways. But you know what? As far as your effectiveness for Christ, you know what? You really don't have a lot. You don't influence people. You're not a witness. You're not passing out tracts. You're not talking about the Lord. You never share your testimony. You're not getting into the church, getting busy and working and getting involved and touching lives and changing lives. And you're not bringing people to church. You're not, hey, you know what? He can live with that.
No, you're right.
He can live with that. So let me just encourage you folks, listen to me. One of the things that, you know, it's just something a preacher's got to look at you and say very honestly is when you get saved, you've got an adversary now. You just made an enemy out of the devil. Okay, and he's going to do everything he can to ruin your testimony. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from coming to church. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from reading your Bible. He doesn't want you to grow. He wants you to stay a little baby. And if he can get you to do that, then you know what? You're not going to make a whole lot of difference. Yeah, you'll die and go to heaven one of these days, but you know what? As far as what you're doing for Jesus, you know what? He can live with that. Now, folks, you know what? Let's make the devil's life miserable. I mean, no, I want to make Jesus glad and the devil mad every day of my life. If I do that, then I've had a good day, okay? See, folks, listen to me. He's not on my side. I've got nothing in common with the devil anymore. You know what? He hates me and I hate him. He hates everything that's precious. He hates everything that I'm for. He hates everything that Jesus is for. He hates everything this book stands for. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And I'm not going, come on, to play this thing where I go to church and talk about Jesus and put the smile on, then play footsie with the devil Monday through Saturday. I know which side I'm on. Listen, once you get saved, get on Jesus' side. Get over here on Jesus' side. Don't sit there in the middle where, you know what, you're trying to keep the devil happy and you're trying to keep God happy and you're trying to keep the devil's kids liking you and trying to keep God's kids liking you. You know what? Get hot, get cold, lukewarm. God says I'll spew you out of my mouth. Pick a side. Pick a side. And so the Bible warns us that the devil is an adversary, our adversary, the devil. It warns us he's a roaring lion. It warns us that he's busy. He never takes a day off. He's always walking around. What is he looking for? Seeking whom he may devour. But wait a minute. Then the next verse says, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Say, preacher, I don't have the power to stand against the devil. Well, 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
I'm not talking about trying to take on the devil in your own power. That's never going to work. But you have the Holy Spirit now. You have Jesus as your Savior. You have God as your Father. You know what? Stick close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. We preached on staying in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a protection that comes with staying in the shadow of the Almighty. The devil's now your adversary. Okay, he's compared to this roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But we're told that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And then we're told this, resist the devil. Resist the devil. That means every time he tries to bring temptation, you don't give in to it. You resist it. Okay, when he tries to get your mind going down a road that's a wrong road, then you resist that. Okay, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that means, you know what, everything that he had for you that you've given up, because we ought to give those worldly, devilish things up, then we want to replace those with godly things. Get rid of the devil's music, start listening to good music. Get one of those CDs, man. He said donations. Have you got a quarter? Throw it on the table and let's bankrupt this thing, you know. I'm kidding. I told him when he came up here, I said, I think I got a quarter. You said donations. I think I got one in my office. I'll give you a quarter for one of them. But get good music in your life. Get good music in your life. Get the Bible in you. What did you used to read that fed the flesh? What did you used to read that empowered the devil? Get rid of all that stuff and start reading the Word of God. Start reading good books. What did you watch before or look at that drags you down? Come on, the devil's direction. Get rid of all that junk. Start. Listen, what crowd were you hanging around? All right, time to change crowds. Okay, because you know what? I watched my mom and dad when they got saved, all their old friends. You know, they used to go to their houses. They used to play cards with them. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you the reality of it. I was there. Okay. They were in there playing cards, cigarettes. Pastor Robert Ross, yeah, you know what? He was a new convert. Okay, he got saved. And you know what? We went out in the yard and played a new game that just came out that our parents bought for us. Jarts. Jarts. Say, what is that? I don't know how this ever became legal, but there was these plastic little round circles that you would lay down, and then there was these big giant darts. They called jarts. Come on, how many of you ever played with jarts before, okay? How many ever get hit in the head with a jart? I got hit in the head with one. Because, you know, you're supposed to stand there and it's like you almost like horseshoes and you're throwing these jarts, lawn jarts, and they're supposed to stick in that. And then these people, you're supposed to stand back. These are children's games, okay? There's a reason my generation is tough. At least the ones that survived, you know. And if you're playing like they say in the directions, then you step way out of the way and they throw them back and then you pick them up. But that gets boring after about 5 minutes, so you start throwing them through the air and seeing if you could, like, shoot like a gun, you know, throw them through the hoop. And then you do that until one gets stuck in a tree. And then it's up in the tree and you can't get it down. So what do? Everybody stands underneath it and throws jarts up at it, trying to knock it out of the tree. And then I reach down to get one that landed, and one pops me right in the back of the head. Next thing I know, thrown to the back of the station wagon, emergency room. Doctor looks at it and says, well, you know, it's bleeding everywhere. And he said, oh, I don't really know how to stitch a hole. I mean, it's a cut. People are right now, a lot of you are saying, that's what's wrong with him. It's making so much sense now. A lot of brain, I think, leaked out. I don't know. He put a Band-Aid on it, sent me home, shaved it, put a Band-Aid on it, sent me home. And I wasn't allowed to play with jarts after that. I don't know where I was going with that, but you know what? When mom and dad went back to the old friends and they sat around the table and all of a sudden they weren't smoking and all of a sudden they wanted to talk about church and they wanted to talk about Jesus and they wanted to come to church. Listen, you know what? You don't have to leave the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd will either get saved or they'll leave you. Thank God some of their friends got saved. By the way, some of them just quit inviting us over. You know why? Because, what I'm saying is, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, I mean this, folks. Listen to me. I, whether it's on social media or whether it's interacting personally, you know what? There's some people that if you'll be honest, now think about this, they drag you down spiritually. Okay, and I can't police you, and I'm not asking you to police me. Come on, young people. At some point, part of growing up in Christian faith is realizing, okay, I can be friendly to that person, but I can't be close friends with that person. And you know what? Because if I do, then next thing I know, I'm being drugged the direction I shouldn't go. And I allow them to have too much influence in my life. So the best thing for me to do is find the right crowd. Come on, find the right crowd. Find the people that are wanting to go towards Jesus. Find the people that are wanting to grow in the Lord. And you know what? Hook yourself up to that group. And you know what? Encourage each other and love each other. And so you've made the devil mad. Okay, he's your adversary. Go over to James chapter 4. By the way, before you go there, look at verse 6 in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. What's the first word? Humble. Remember that. Just remember that one word. And then let's go to James chapter 4. James is right after the book of Hebrews. Just a couple books to the left of where you were in your Bible, James chapter 4. Look, if you will, in verse number 6. James chapter 4, verse number 6. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. Aren't you glad for that? Every time you need some grace, he gives more. He's going to give the kind of grace that you need for whatever you're facing. You see somebody go through that something and you think, oh, I could never go through that. I don't have the grace to go through that. That's because you don't need it yet. Come on, that's because you don't need it yet. But it's amazing when God asks you to go through something, he gives you more grace. And so wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto thee. There's that word again, humble. Now think about that. One of the things as a Christian, salvation and being saved ought to be a humbling experience and ought to bring humility into our lives. You know what? I couldn't do anything to save myself. I had to humble myself before the Lord, admit to him that I was lost and without hope, and throw myself upon his grace and mercy in order to be saved. Well, folks, listen. Keep that humility as you go into your Christian life, because God will bless humility. And a lot of times, a person, they get defeated by the devil because of pride. Bible says, pride cometh before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. And so pride is not your friend, pride's your enemy. And so don't walk around like, well, I'm a Christian now and I can take on the devil. Be careful. You better stay humble. Now you can resist the devil. I'm going to teach you that. But I just think this matter of humility is so important. I think I'd start every day opening the Bible and you know what, reading the Bible and just saying, Lord, you know what? I want to live for you today. And Lord, I can't do it without you. Come on, I can't do it without you. That's humility. I need you today. I know the devil's that roaring lion. He's waiting for me out there somewhere. And I can't defeat him in my own power. If you'll stay humble, you'll stay safe. Because he says that God resisteth the proud, but man, he giveth grace to the humble. Now notice what comes right after that. So we submit ourselves, therefore, to God every morning, just like I said, just submit yourself to God. God, I want to do your will. I want to walk your way, and I want to obey your word. And Lord, I'm submitting myself to that. And then it says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So as you're walking humbly in your Christian life, to fulfill God's will for that day, you're probably going to have an encounter with the devil or one of his devils. And you know what? They're going to try to throw you off track. They're going to try to tempt you. They're going to try to get your spirit wrong. They're going to try to introduce wrong kind of thinking into your mind. And the Bible says, don't fold like a lawn chair every time the devil puts a little pressure on you. Resist him.
Right.
Resist him. Because the Bible says that if you do that, he will flee from you. And then verse 8, again, submit yourselves therefore to God. Verse 7, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. It's all about who you're with, folks. It's not you and it's not me. It's not just hanging around the right crowd. You know what it's about? It's hanging around God, getting close to God. Because that right crowd's not always going to be there to help you when the devil attacks. By the way, Hunter, it's good to have you. This is Hunter, by the way. And why is he here? He's hunting. He's Hunter. He's hunting. And so, anyway, good to see you, buddy. Just thought I'd embarrass you for a minute there. Really, it was more about embarrassing Sammy. But anyway, you be sure and get to know Hunter. Some tells me we might be seeing more of him around here anyway. So, praise the Lord. Now, you say, well, preacher, it sounds good to resist the devil. But what exactly do I do? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. I love when the congregation asks questions. Luke chapter 4. Hey, Jesus is our supreme example. For some of you, this is new stuff or old stuff. You say, preacher, I've been taught this probably 100 times. Well, let's be taught 101 times, okay? Because you see, the devil attacks Jesus. He tempts Jesus in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus is our example. And then it says that Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, boy, that'll help you. You know what? Seek the fullness of the Spirit. Remember last week I talked about that? Make sure the Holy Spirit's in the front of the line. Maybe he's the one that's guiding you that day. You know, submit to God. Come on, submit to His will, His word, His way. And you know what? Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But even when that's happening, that doesn't mean the devil's going to leave you alone. Didn't leave Jesus alone. So the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it may be bread. And Jesus said unto him, answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Written where? Written in the Bible.
Right.
So here's the word of God, the living word. And yet he uses the written word to resist the devil. Okay, so we go on. The devil taking him up to a high mountain. Verse 5, showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, it shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Get behind me, Satan. I think that's a good little phrase that Jesus taught us. I say it out loud sometimes. I know people look at you strange, okay? I wish the devil would become that real to everybody in here. In that moment of temptation, come on. In that moment where all of a sudden you're thinking things that you shouldn't think, and you're being tempted to do something you know you shouldn't do, I think a real good thing to say out loud is, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
But he didn't just say that. By the way, I don't tell this story very often because I thought I was nuts at the time, and maybe I was. But I'm going to tell you, it works. I came home from Bible college after 1 year of Bible college, got a job working construction, working in the high merit schools, replacing all of the drop ceilings in there. And so you might, if you're ever there, notice that. They look really good. Of course, it's been 40 years ago, but anyway, there's a crooked one. It's the other guy that was helping me. And so I was in this classroom, and guys, I don't know, I hope that this helps you, but I'm in the classroom by myself, and I'm up on a ladder, and I'm hanging the framing, okay, the rails for the drop ceiling, and the devil is just after me. And he's just, I mean, wicked thoughts and bad things and discouraging my faith and just questioning God. Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. Come on. Anybody ever been there where it's just like, and you don't need to go back to Bible college, and you can make a lot more money doing this, and I've got a pair of pliers in my hand where I am doing the wire. Come on, the wire, you got to... All right, and I literally jerk that down, turn around behind me, and throw it as hard as I can and scream, get out of here, devil!
Yeah.
And the pliers go across the room and smack into the wall. And I'm sitting there, and folks, I am trembling. And you know what all of a sudden I felt next? It was like God just moved in.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? You resisted the devil. I'm going to make him flee from you.
Yeah.
Get behind me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. You say, preacher, I don't know about this stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the devil don't want to be that real in your life, because he wants you to think that he's some guy dressed up in a little red suit.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, some little cartoon figures.
Yep.
Somebody that's not really real. He's real.
Yeah.
He's real. And you've got to learn how to do battle with him. Jesus didn't just say to get hence or get away from him. He then, get thee behind me, Satan, verse 8, for it is written. And you know what I did after that day? I began to understand, boy, I can help you so much as a new convert. I can help you as a Christian get victory over some sins in your life that you have been wrestling with for a long time. The areas of my life that I was constantly being attacked at that age, you know what I did? I went to the Bible. And I picked out 5 verses that addressed every one of those issues.
Good.
Okay? Pride. I had a problem with pride.
Good.
And the Lord revealed to me I had a problem with pride. So you know what I did? I found 5 verses on pride. And you know what I did? I wrote them out on 5 3x5 cards. and the rest of the summer, I kept them in my pocket. And I would use them for 1 week. And I would memorize those five. I mean, every time I had to stop and do something, every time we ate, any time we were in the truck driving. By the way, that'll keep your mind right. That'll keep your mind right. And at the end of that week, I could quote from memory five verses on pride. And anytime pride, the devil would bring, try to bring pride into my life, I just start shooting off those five verses. And you know what? About third or fourth one, he's gone. He can't handle the Bible. He can take me, but he can't take the Word of God. He can take out me, but he can't take out who's with me. And then the next day, the next week, you know what? I picked another subject. And you know what I did? I got five verses on that thing that the devil's tormenting me about. And you know what? I memorized. I did that for an entire summer. I think, folks, listen, these weren't any verse of the Bible. Every verse that Jesus quoted corresponded with the temptation that was being offered him. So it's good to have basic Bible verses memorized, but John 3:16 isn't going to work on every temptation. I'm talking about young people. I'd like to see some young men get serious about it, young ladies. All right, you're out of school. What are you going to do all summer? What's the sin that's so easily besetting you? All right. What are they? What are the sins that are giving us the most problem? Man, memorize five verses. Okay? Or six is even cooler because it's like a, it'd be like a Colt revolver then. Bam, 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 bam. We had somebody shooting in Sunday school. People are watching on live stream. It was a skit. It was a skit. It was a skit. I'm going to get phone calls. Amen. That's awesome. Hey, why don't we just unload on the devil?
Amen.
Come on. Why are you letting him punk you? He's punking you. Some of you older folks, listen, you got to be cool like the preacher, okay? I'm up on all this lingo. I think that was like a 20-year-old one, but yeah. I'm pretty up on it, man. You know, don't let him punk you. Why are you letting, come on, a unemployed former archangel ruin your life? That's why we fold like a lawn chair every time the devil brings a little temptation. Put the six bullets in, six scriptures, and just unload on him. By the time the smoke clears, the peace of God pass all understanding. Keep your hearts in mind through Jesus Christ. Listen, this is how you survive this thing. I want to say to new converts, you made the devil mad. And plan A didn't work, but he's got plan B. And that doesn't mean he's not going to try to destroy you and ruin your testimony and keep you from having any effect for the Lord Jesus Christ or bringing anybody else to Jesus, and he's going to torment you with past sins that have already been forgiven and are under the blood.
Right.
Don't let him do that.
Yeah, right.
Say, preacher, one of them is guilt. One of the things that I'm dealing with is guilt. Find you five verses on that, and just every time the devil brings up something that God has forgotten about, forgiven and forgotten about, he separated as far as the east is the west. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Amen. You know, then quote those verses. And you know what? Pretty soon he's just like, you know, he got anything to work with then. And so I want you to get in. That's why we say get under Bible preaching. That's why everybody that's trying to help you will say, get you a Bible reading chart. Start reading the Bible every day. Get into the Bible every single day. Get into the Bible every single day. Get into the Bible every single day. Why? It just seems like it's a broken record around here. This is because, listen, I don't have time to go there this morning, but the armor of God. Take a look at that, folks. You know, you need truth. You need righteousness. You need gospel shoes. You need faith. You need the assurance of your salvation. But you also need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the offensive weapon. Everything else is designed for defense. That's the offensive weapon. That's the thing you stick the devil with and he can't handle. So you got to get into the Bible. Last piece of advice. And yes, this is just seven things. But I think good things to get you started. If I was going to give you seven pieces of advice, this would be the last one. You're saved now. Okay? Go find someone else and bring them to Jesus. Go find somebody else and bring them to Jesus. You know, John chapter 1. By the way, we're going through the book of John in our adult Sunday school class. And I've been doing it for several months, and I almost finished chapter 1, Brother Nichols. You'd have been so proud of me. And then I, right at the end, realized I wasn't going to be able to get to the finish. So maybe, Lord willing, by the end of June, we'll be out of John chapter 1. But you know what? There was a man named Andrew, and he was a disciple of John the Baptist. You know what John said? Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. John and Andrew and another disciple said, so that's him? That's him. Well, I'm going to go follow him. Jesus turned around, and he looked at them, and he said, what seek ye? That's a good question, by the way. What seek ye? Hey, new converts, what seek ye? Hey, Christians, what seek ye? Good. I mean, right away, Jesus just kind of said, all right, you are following me, so what do you want? What are you seeking? You see, folks, there's people that seek the church or seek God for what he can do for them. Yes. And there's people that seek, come on, Jesus, because they want him. Right. And you know what their answer was? They said, Rabbi, Master, they said, where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And you know what he was doing? He was just checking out why they were following him. Because we get into the gospel, and there was a group of disciples that were following. The Bible says they were following because of the bread and the fish and the miracles. Right. So they were following Jesus for what he could do for them. Because if I follow him, we get to eat free. I'm following him for what I can get from him. How about just following him to be with him? How about wanting nothing except his presence? How about just wanting to be like Jesus? And so, Andrew starts following him. And he spends a day with him. And then the Bible says right after that, this is Andrew, it says that he followed him. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, this Simon Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And I love verse 42, John chapter 1, and he brought him to Jesus. Amen. He brought him to Jesus. He went and said, you're not going to believe what I experienced. You don't believe what I found. I followed him. He asked me, what do you seek? And I said, where are you abiding? And he said, come with me. And we spent a whole day with him. And then after that, I came and I wanted to find you because this is who he is. This is Jesus. This is the one we've been looking for. He's here. And he grabbed Peter and said, let's go. And he brought him to Jesus. Not a whole lot is said about Andrew in the New Testament. There are some things we looked at in our adult class. And there are several things that are notable. There is some history, not in the Bible, but there's some history about what Andrew did after the book of Acts, where he went, where he was a missionary, where he spread the gospel. There's some information, historical information about the way he died. By the way, all of the apostles ended up dying for Jesus Christ except John. They tried to kill him. They put him on Isle of Patmos and said, there, now we're done with you. You can't have an influence for Jesus anymore. And Jesus showed up and said, get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you the book of Revelation. I'm not done with you yet. Listen, I don't know what the most notable thing that Andrew accomplished in his life, but we know what Peter did.
Right.
We know what Peter accomplished. And you know, for some of us, the most important thing that we accomplish in life is what maybe we did for God, but what somebody we won to Christ will do for God. And so think about that. Say, preacher, how do I bring people to Jesus? Invite people to come to church with you? Well, we're just covering the basics. You know, I don't even know for sure what to say with them. Say this, would you come to church with me next Sunday? Preacher, I don't know all the verses and I don't know how to explain everything. Get them in the pew. Get them under the preaching of the Bible. That's what Jerry and Ruth Purcell did for my mom and dad. They just kept inviting and inviting and got us under the preaching of the Bible. And after some time, you know what? The Word of God did its job, brought us under conviction, brought us to Christ. So just invite people to come to church with you. Let me give you another one. Pass out gospel tracts. Hey, that's a good place to start as a new Christian, you know. Preacher, I'm not sure I know how to take the Bible. And somebody asked me, how can I know for sure I'm going to heaven? I don't know if I can explain it to them and all that. Well, you know what? Get one of these good gospel tracts. And you know what? Somebody asks you, if you ask them, you know what? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Because I just got saved. I didn't know that for sure, but I know it now. And they say, I don't know if I know for sure. You say, well, now what do? You open the gospel tract and you just start reading it to them. Get one of those God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It's got a lot of Bible verses in it. I mean, any of us can just sit there and say, could I just read through this pamphlet with you? It won't take maybe 10 minutes. Let's sit down. Let me show you what I found. Jesus has changed my life. Let me tell you how that started. And just read God's Simple Plan of Salvation to them. At the end of it, it's got a little invitation that it gives right there in the track. And you know what? It gives you the tools to be able to lead them to call upon Christ and ask them to save you. You'll pass out tracts. Share your testimony with others. Sometimes we're not in a place where we can pass out tracts, but we're having a conversation with somebody. And you know, one of the neatest things you could say is, hey, did I ever tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me? And everybody likes a story, a good story. Really? I mean, like the greatest. Yeah, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Good. And then they'll say, yeah, no, I don't think you have. You want to hear it? I guess. All right. Let me tell you a little bit of the background. Now, I started talking about being born into an unsaved family, and next door neighbors begin to invite us. I begin to tell about the story about how I sent them the preaching, and thank God for you children's workers. I mean it. I can't say enough about it. What's going on in junior church and primary church and fifth and sixth grade church isn't just babysitting, folks. Those young people's lives are being touched and changed with the Bible. Thank God for that. And I just tell them, share your testimony. Get involved in a church outreach ministry. Hey, well, it was the bus ministry that brought me to Christ. Well, maybe you ought to jump on a bus and be a helper. Maybe you ought to say to the bus captain, hey, is there anything I can do on the bus? Or, you know what, could I go visiting? Or how do I get other kids to come? You got any of those flyers that I could pass out? I mean, get involved in a church outreach ministry, soul winning, door to door. Learn to be a soul winner. You know what, I'd like to be able to take the Bible and show somebody how to be saved. Well, go with somebody that knows how and watch them do it. And then study and learn and mark your Bible. Listen, all these things I had to slowly learn as I was saved. But I'm sure glad I know them now. And it's fun to be able to just go out every week kind of on high alert and say, what's the old song say? Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Come on, I mean, if we'll just say to the whole, remember, we're going to order ourselves, Holy Spirit, Spirit, soul, and then body back here. And Holy Spirit, I just want you to lead me. I want you to guide me today. God, I'm submitting myself to you. Please protect me today. Lead me not into temptation. Yep. Deliver me from evil. I know the devil's out there. Help me to know how to resist him. Help me to know the right things to say. And then as I'm going along in life, help me to find a soul. Hey, why don't we spend this week making the Lord glad and the devil mad? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these basic teachings in the Bible that help us so much. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they would be saved today.